Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I asked you guys for chocolate chip cookie feedback, and you delivered. Ask you for Commanders feedback, and you don't seem to want to talk much about the Commanders today. But I got a lot of intel on chocolate chip cookies in the area. Cannot wait to go through some of these responses with you. Read and react quickly. Before we get into more pressing needs at 4:25 coming up in 20 minutes. So I appreciate all of that Twitter response. All right, right now it is time for our Beltway Blitz, the latest on the teams you care the most about. We will get the latest from Ashburn and get an update after yet another day of practices. I think number 14 out in Ashburn, a couple of weeks in now for the Commanders. Ethan Cadeau in a few minutes. And we'll talk NASCAR with Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the big series is coming to Richmond this weekend for the second race of the year in Richmond, and we are on the verge now of the playoffs. So we'll talk to Ricky Stenhouse about that coming up. But we got to start things off on the Blitz on the Diamond. Chelsea Janes, Washington Post. Chelsea, before I talk to you about the Nats, I know you're not in Iowa for the Field of Dreams game tonight, but you were there last year, correct? What an experience this looks like it is. I mean, I'm just looking at some of the videos of, you know, the people that are kind of wandering around in the outfield now and have access to the field. It looks incredible. This is an all-time win, I think, for baseball, and whoever's idea this was deserves a raise. What was that experience like for you last year?
It was really cool. It was definitely something I won't forget. It was surprisingly good, I think I would say. The field looked really natural and kind of old school, and all the production stuff was incredible. It really is kind of an amazing production that they've put together there, and we'll see if it kind of continues to appeal, but I think the players too kind of found it special. So yeah, it's definitely was more than I thought, and in a really positive way.
The Yankees played the White Sox in the game last year, and it was a blast, and I believe Tim Anderson, if memory serves, hit a walk-off home run, so it was kind of poetic and awesome. This year, it's a rough enough game. I mean, it's the Reds and the Cubs, two bad teams. But I really don't know if that matters. I mean, I can't wait to get home and sit down and watch it. It still feels like an event because I'm not sure if the game and who's playing is relevant. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that the Cubs being in it sort of kind of cancels that out just because they're so sort of beloved in Iowa and that part of Iowa. And, you know, I think having someone like Joey Votto there is who has been sort of vocal the last 24 hours about how much it means to him. He's sort of an all-time baseball character that'll get to get showcased. So for me, it's I don't think it matters. I think it'll be fun either way.
All right, so let's talk about the Nats. Things have gotten really bad with Patrick Corbin. He has not gotten out of the first round now in two of his last three starts in the first inning of ball games. What do they do? The options include IL, bullpen, I guess DFA, which isn't happening. I mean, it's not like they're booting him from the organization, and they're going to skip him now, which I get. But I mean, realistically, what should they be doing?
What can't do? No, I think there is a chance you find somebody to take him under some circumstances this offseason. I think that, you know, if he is healthy, you kind of just have to let him figure it out, which is what they are doing. But you know, I had thought coming into the deadline that maybe somebody looks at him and says, you know, he's healthy, the velocity is what it usually is. You know, maybe we can fix him, turn him into a bullpen guy or something. But I don't know if that's even possible in the offseason. But certainly right now, whatever the Nats are trying isn't working. Whatever he's trying isn't working. And I don't know what you could do. I mean, at least they can sort of absorb the, you know, bad starts, I guess. But they obviously prefer not to. And I don't know. It's going to be really complicated, but I think you just got to kind of let him figure it out.
Speaking of figuring things out, that was the plan at shortstop with Luis Garcia. It's not going to happen. He just can't play that position. Do they get that? I mean, it did seem like they were just desperate to make Fetch happen for a while, and they were saying to anyone who would listen, like, he's going to be our shortstop, or we're going to play him there. He's really hurt guys like Corbin. What's happened defensively at short is really historically brutal, honestly, right now. So what are they going to do with him?
Yeah, those stats at shortstop defensively are pretty rough. I think that they know, not only do they know, but like C.J. Abrams sort of solved that problem pretty quickly. I think they still think Luis Garcia could hit 300. I think we've seen glimpses of that this year, but maybe he can do it at second base or somewhere else. You know, I don't think that you're stuck. I don't think that this is a sort of horrible setback for them as an organization that he might not be the shortstop of the future, because, you know, if he can be a relevant, you know, 6-7 hitter of the future, then that's fine. He's still young. He's going to grow a lot offensively. Like, that's okay. And I think they've got someone now to replace him. They've got, it's not Alcides Escobar. It's a bona fide prospect who seems like he can stay at short in Abrams. And, I think they'll adjust with Garcia. I haven't heard that for sure, but I just think it makes so much sense. And, you know, it's not something they have to keep pushing anymore.
Yeah, it'd be stunning if that didn't happen. All right, last thing on the Nats then, Chelsea. Cade Cavalli. I mean, this is no longer really about service time. You wouldn't lose a year if you call him up at this point. So when do we see him, and what's going on, do you think?
Well, I'm not sure. I think they're just being really careful. I think that is prudence at this time. I mean, we're eager to see him. You want to see what he can do in the big leagues, but it's also just not the time to blow out the one big arm you have, especially with uncertainty over Mackenzie Gore. So I think, I don't know, I think I wish he had been up sooner. I think that would have been good for everyone. I think he'll be up before the end of the year, but I also sort of don't blame them for not pushing it, because what, frankly, is the point?
Well, a couple points for me, I guess. I mean, one, it would be nice for fans to have something to watch worth the money that they're paying for tickets. But then also, secondly, and way more importantly from kind of a Mike Rizzo standpoint, he's been in the AAA for almost 30 starts now. I mean, so if he's not ready, that says something about Cade Cavalli, which I don't buy that. I think he'd be their second-best big league starter the second they called him up. But that's just me. You do an awesome job covering the Nats in Major League Baseball. I wish you were in Iowa so I could read a cool story tomorrow, but I know you guys got it covered. Thank you, Chelsea. Appreciate you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
I think she's gone. Her phone was struggling. We got to get her back on soon and talk more ball. All right, let's break down some football. Ethan Cadeau, NBCSportsWashington.com on the Commanders. Ethan, what was the story out in Ashburn over the last couple of days?
Yeah, I think the biggest story that's really been the last few days has been Carson Wentz's improvement. We all saw the inaccuracies on Saturday at the open practice and then the stuff last week, but he's really started to look a lot better, which is a great sign going into Saturday's game, where he'll have his first real chance to show that the accuracy isn't an issue and the chemistry he's got with the other receivers is a lot better than people are giving them credit for.
How much is he going to play, do you think, on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to play a decent amount. Rivera said today he wants to have all the starters play 15 to 20 plays. Roughly, he wants to see a lot of different situational football aspects, whether it's a two-minute drill, some third downs, some goal line work, red zone stuff. So it sounds like he's going to play at least a decent amount. Probably, my guess would be the first quarter and let Taylor Heinicke take over at some point in the second. But it's not going to be one of those typical first preseason games we've seen in the past where they play maybe one series and then it's the backup's time.
So I totally get why, if you're injured, you wouldn't play. But of the guys that are healthy and practicing, do we know of anyone that's going to be sat or told they don't need to play in this game? Or if you're healthy, are you pretty much going?
Yeah, it seems like if you're healthy, you're pretty much going. Chase Roulet is not playing the center. He's been back. He's been practicing from that broken fibula he suffered last year. But he's a veteran. It sounds like Ron just really wants to keep him out in a meaningless game. But Curtis Samuel's going to play, which is an optimistic and positive sign, especially with all that conditioning stuff he's been going through. Benjamin St. Juice is going to play, who missed today's practice as well. So sounds like if you're healthy and ready to roll, you're suiting up.
Curtis Samuel is absolutely playing definitively?
Yeah, Ron Rivera said he was going to play today, so I'm taking the head coach for his word.
Wow, look at that. That's exciting. I love that. What will you be caring to watch? Like at top of your notebook, you're scribbling a few things down to monitor. What makes the cut for you?
Yeah, besides how Wentz looks, because that's the easy, simple storyline, I'd say which pass rusher steps up opposite Montez Sweat. That's a pretty big gaping hole with Chase Young out. James Smith-Williams figures to be the guy who's going to get first crack at that. I think Casey Tuhill's had a nice camp. He's really impressed me. And then you have a pair of seventh-round picks from last year in Shaka Toney and William Bradley King who have flashed at times as well. So who that other pass rusher will be is something I'm really focused in on. And honestly, maybe this is just my care on the other side, but I'm really interested to see the Baker Mayfield-Sam Darnold QB competition in action.
You and me both. It seems like it was over before it started with Baker having pulled ahead. But, yeah, sign me up for that. Ethan, thank you, buddy. We really appreciate the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Ethan Cadeau, NBCSportsWashington.com. All right, let's talk a little racing.
NASCAR.
And we are joined now by Ricky Stenhouse Jr., driver of the number 47 car, who's going to be racing in Richmond. Many of you going out there this Sunday. Ricky, when you think Richmond Raceway, what comes to mind?
Fun racetrack. Can be frustrating at times, depending on how your car is driving. But all in all, a really cool short track that we get to go to. A lot of history. And, like I said, a fun racetrack to race at.
For you, I mean, I think about your career and some of your top races here recently. Whenever you guys are racing at super speedways, you're not only a factor, but you're kind of a guy that everyone's got to monitor. Short tracks with your team and just kind of some of the advantages, disadvantages the big race teams versus the small teams have. What's your game plan going into races like this?
Well, for us, you know, we obviously raced there earlier in the season. And so we didn't have the run that we were looking for. And, our car just didn't handle the way we wanted it to or needed it to be as competitive as what we wanted. So for us, you know, we're looking at it as, all right, we got to come up with a different setup. We got to figure out exactly what we need to do to be better. And so, you know, we're coming in this weekend with a different setup, different, you know, philosophy of, you know, how we're going to get our car around the racetrack and, you know, and see what happens. But you have to be good on the long run here. You know, this place wears tires out, and then having a good strategy. There was all different strategies in the race last year or earlier in the season that was, made for a really interesting race, and it was pretty crazy.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr., JTG Doherty Racing with us here on Grant and Danny's Beltway Blitz. He's been in the top five top tens this season, been running up front plenty. How much can you use previous races at a track in a year? You just referenced that's kind of what your basis will be for your planning now. But it's a different time of the year. You guys have learned so much more about these cars. So how do you prioritize kind of the first race versus just so much has changed now?
It's been a learning year, that's for sure. And the short tracks, I feel like, you know, we're learning, but we're more learning what not to do versus, hey, that was really good. Let's do that again, kind of thing. So that's been the frustrating thing for us, the short tracks. You know, like you said, we've got some top tens. Those are all kind of on the mile and a half racetracks. We've been really good on those mile and a half racetracks. So, you know, I think for us, it's just trying to, you know, improve and, you know, before the end of the season, hopefully we'll have like a short track package that works for us and is competitive for us so that we can, go to the off season with some good notes to, you know, make other racetracks better. But, you know, we got to get better ourselves, but also knowing that, you know, those other cars that we're racing are probably going to be better as well. So, we got to make a big leap when we get to those short tracks and especially back to tracks. For the second time.
One of the things that I've really liked as a newer NASCAR fan, I kind of got into the sport during the pandemic when you guys were one of the few games in town, and I still watch every weekend now. I feel like it's a much more wide open race every weekend with this next gen car. I feel like that all the teams can win. It's not just Hamlin and Harvick and Gibbs and the big boys, so to speak. I mean, is that how it feels in the car, that you guys have a chance every weekend? I mean, you strung together six top 15s in a row. You see Suarez and some of these guys, the 43 cars back up front occasionally. Is that the new car, or is there more to it than that?
No, I mean, I think it's definitely the new car, and, you know, it's leveled the playing field a little bit, but it also has, you know, it's given everybody the same equipment. It's just now who puts all the parts and pieces together the correct way, right? You know, the setups are important and can really, you know, differentiate you in the field. If you hit it right, you'll have good opportunity to go for a win. I felt like we went through a month there where we were hitting everything right and feeling really good about our race cars. And, you know, we had a chance to win at Dover, and we had good runs, you know, 4 or 5 weeks in a row there. And then all of a sudden, you know, we hit some short tracks and some road courses, and we've been back to struggling a little bit. So it's, you know, these cars have, you know, different packages that they like. And, you know, it's been a fun season. Cars are fun to drive.
Yeah, I'd imagine. What don't you like about the new cars? What's been most difficult, or what would be a complaint that you have?
You know, I don't know. I think the shifting on the short tracks is something that, you know, I think would help make short track racing a little bit better for us as far as more competitive and maybe some more passing. And I just really don't want to shift every lap. that's what the road courses are for. So, you know, hopefully we can kind of get that dialed in. But, you know, really everything else has been pretty fun about it.
I know you got some sprint racing to do this weekend in a sprint car and before you get to Richmond. I appreciate the time. Thanks so much, and we'll see you out at RIR.
Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to, you know, getting in our Kroger Kleenex Camaro this weekend. You know, they're doing a really cool promotion. Kimberly Clark Brands, they're donating up to $1 million to Donors Choose, which, you know, if you buy Kleenex at Kroger stores in the Richmond area from 8:14 to 9:15, all the money goes to support classrooms, you know, in and around the Richmond area. So that'll be pretty cool to have them on the car this weekend and trying to do good things for the community as well.
That's awesome. Ricky, great to talk to you. I'll be pulling for you at Richmond. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ricky Stenhouse here on our Beltway Blitz, the very rare NASCAR portion of the Beltway Blitz. In fact, Darius today had to voice NASCAR because that might have been the maiden voyage for us.
Yeah, NASCAR Paulson, how about you handling that interview with class and grace?
Had to take advantage of Danny not being here to go, you know what? I just don't know, guys.
He would check out.
He's
so
like,
quickly.
Well, the problem is Danny is petrified because he thinks someone's going to like write him a letter to say, I don't think you knew what you were talking about. Yeah, me either. I just watched the races on Sunday. Just ask the questions and let Ricky Stenhouse be the expert. You know what I mean? 2 days, 22 hours away. Federated Auto Parts 400 in Richmond. We got to take care of our friends listening on 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. They might be going to the race this weekend. So there you go. That is your Beltway Blitz. All right, coming up on Grant and Danny, I'm hoping to catch up with Anthony Gwynn Jr., Tony's son, was going to be in studio here at our Odyssey headquarters in D.C. So we're going to try to grab him. He is a part of the Padres broadcast, talk about the first several days of the Soto and Bell experience. So that should be fun. Plus, I want to get into this Field of Dreams game they're playing in Major League Baseball tonight. Are there other fun things that could be done in sports like this? Because this has been just a complete smash hit. Plus, we're not done talking chocolate chip cookies either. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D Danny is at the beach enjoying himself. His beach trip a little different than mine. When I go to the beach, I don't really go to the beach. I try to stay in my apartment, condo, wherever we're staying, whatever it is, in the air conditioning. Maybe go to the pool, something like that. Danny literally sets up a chair at like 8 a.m. and then he goes back to his room at like 6 p.m. when the sun goes down. Toes in sand. If he gets hot, he walks down, gets in the water, and then he reads some books or something like that. Very, very different beach experiences for me and Danny.
Now, have you heard, have you had any communication with Danny since he's been out? He's been out since last Friday, correct?
Not, I would say not one word, but he actually did send me a text maybe 2 days ago, and it was a picture of just like the sun over the water. That was it.
I wish you were here text.
There was no words. It was just a picture. That was all it was.
Yeah, he responded in our group chat earlier to the Wizards' new uniforms. Which,
oh, did he?
See that. Yeah, which he wasn't psyched about, of course, because why would he like new uniforms?
He shouldn't have even been included on a uniform tag.
Right. but yeah, that's the only communication I've seen from him.
He shuts it down, which he really does. If I was at the beach or going away for a week, I would do the same thing. Completely unplug. All right, cookies. So I mentioned I got a dinner last night. Picked up with the wife, wanted she wanted some chicken from Pollo Campero. While I was there, I saw they had some cookies, ate a chocolate chip cookie. It was arguably the best I've had. Very awkward interaction after that, by the way, where I told a manager, I said, hey, I just want you to know that was the best chocolate chip cookie I've had in a long time. And he went, oh. So that was good. He was really happy that I told him that. But here, I asked people, I said, where do you like cookies from? If you're checking out, you get a chocolate chip cookie, who's got the best option for you? A lot of people are going hard in the paint for Potbellies. I did not know that Potbellies upped its cookie game like this. I'm going to have to try that. Or Potbelly, is it singular? I don't know. Potbelly subs. Some love for Jersey Mike's. I enjoy their cookies. Big Jersey Mike's guy. They have great chocolate chip cookies. They actually have two variations of cookie. They have small cookies and big cookies. The small cookies, very good. Not as much a fan of the big cookies. People are saying Jimmy John's does a nice job. I'm noticing a trend here with sub places have a strong chocolate chip cookie game. And then, as you'd expect, people are telling me Wegmans, Costco. That's a cheat code. This is a whole different category, okay? If you're buying chocolate chip cookies from Wegmans or Costco, it's a different game. What I'm saying is you went into a place to buy food, and you just happen to see a cookie while you're checking out, and you say, throw that in the bag. It's a whole different thing. But yeah, Costco obviously has incredible cookies. I will say that Wegmans cookies are great, but probably my single best chocolate chip cookie on the planet is, you have to follow me here, because there's lots of different types of Wegmans chocolate chips. It's like a bin. It's square. It's probably 4 inches tall. And it's the little shooters that are just kind of thrown in the bin. These are like the size of Thin Mints. You just kind of pop them. They're one bite at a time. You pop them in your mouth like potato chips. Now, they're dangerous because you will eat them by the dozens. This is like 20 at a time. You're like, oh, no, what happened to this bin of cookies that I just opened? But that, to me, is as good as it gets in the cookie category right now. the Wegmans little shooter, thin mint sized chocolate chip, one bite cookie. But I do appreciate the feedback. You've made my day on social media at Grant H. Paulson with all of your cookie insight. Tomorrow in Major League Baseball, Juan Soto and Josh Bell are back at Nats Park. We're going to hopefully catch up with Anthony Gwynn from Padres Radio, who's actually in the building today getting ready to do his own broadcast back west. But I want to try to see what it's been like for him over these first handful of days, just seeing the environment, Petco Park, and then when they were on the road against the Dodgers, the early Juan Soto returns. I think it's going to be strange. I mean, we'll take calls on this tomorrow. I know a lot of you guys probably have tickets. I'm definitely going on Saturday. It's going to be a little double dip for me. I'll be at FedEx, then at Nats Park. I'm hoping to go tomorrow night as well for game number one. But I'm just conflicted on everything. What do I do if Juan Soto hits a home run? I can't really be upset. I mean, you don't want to root for someone hitting a home run against your team, obviously, but if the Nationals lose right now, I'd make the case that it's better than if they win. So I'm supposed to be upset if Juan Soto hits a home run. And then Corey Abbott's pitching. I mean, with all due respect to Corey Abbott, I have no emotional attachment to him whatsoever. Like, if Corey Abbott came in here and sat on my lap, I don't think anyone who works here would be like, hey, Corey Abbott is sitting on your lap. I think they'd be like, why is a guy sitting on your lap? So I'm supposed to be mad that Juan Soto took Corey Abbott deep? No, not even a little bit. I think I want Juan Soto to hit four bombs on Friday and then five on Sunday and maybe three on Saturday in between that. I'm pretty sure that's what I'm hoping for. I don't know. Does that make me a bad DC sports fan? I don't think so. If Josiah Gray was pitching, okay, that matters. Now I'd like Juan Soto to probably, hit a fly ball to the warning track or something. Exciting. Where Josiah Gray still benefits. But we could talk more about that tomorrow. Tonight in baseball, you got your Field of Dreams game. If you guys didn't see this last year, it's an amazing thing that baseball does. So in Iowa, they have a field that is set up and looks identical to the iconic field, If You Build It, They Will Come, from the Field of Dreams film. Still iconic and still one of the greatest ever. Starring Kevin Costner and James Earl Jones from 1989. Hard to believe that movie came out in the 80s, a year after I was born. Guess it makes sense, because by the time I started watching it as a kid, it was already part of the fabric baseball-wise, and it was just kind of known that if you love that game and you're romantic about that sport, then you memorize some of those scenes. But this was Costner and Ray Liotta and Earl Jones and Amy Madigan. Just one of the most wonderful baseball movies, certainly, but I would even make the case just more generally. One of the great movies of its time. And baseball did something last year, kind of out of the blue, that became massively successful, where they had the Yankees and the White Sox play in this Field of Dreams game, where they have the actual cornfield out behind the wall. On the fence, they impose or paint, I guess it is, kind of the corn stalks as if, you know, you're seeing right through the fence, so it looks amazing. And there is a minimal crowd there, but it's this major league game kind of dropped directly into the set, so to speak, from Field of Dreams. And it's one of the coolest things in a sport that doesn't always do new, fun, unique, cool things that has happened in a long time. Now, they won't do the game next year because they have to refurbish some things and rebuild, but it sounds like they're going to do this as often as possible for many, many years to come. And now they're trying to come up with other ideas for where they could have games like this. I'd love to see them drop games into, you know, the National Mall or Central Park in New York or wherever they could set something amazing up. You've seen hockey do their stadium series and their outdoor games, sometimes in pretty neat, historically significant areas where it works. Baseball's now trying, because the ratings were through the roof and people raved about this game, and it's a national broadcast. Fox sends all of their A-team there. to call this game like it's game one of the World Series tonight between the Reds and the Cubs. It was kind of a win for everybody. But I think this is the type of thing in sports that should be done more. And I understand that, you know, largely teams are thinking about not losing home dates and wanting to have their fans butts in seats, buying hot dogs and sodas. And it is a business. But sports are also really about entertainment, and they're supposed to be fun. And I think sometimes we lose our way a little bit without, when we go a long time without trying things like this. Like, this is, to me, what it's all about. I kind of view sports as therapy. I'm sure some of you do, but you get home from your job, and you get home, and you deal with all the hard stuff that you got to deal with, whatever that looks like. And then eventually you fire up the TV and you watch a game preseason tonight. The Ravens, Titans, whatever it is. Or you try to make a fantasy baseball trade or whatever. And it's just your way of having something fun that you can fall back on. And sometimes we forget that. But baseball, I think, reminded us that even though it's a regular season game, it's one of 162. Now, we don't have to overly worry or concern ourselves with one game. Let's have a really fun environment. Let's make the story, a la golf, the course, right, the holes themselves. Let's make the story of the ballpark. And Joey Votto is playing supporting actor tonight. You know, Wilson Contreras is not the A-lister, the field is. But if you didn't see it last year, it's worth checking out tonight, I think. It was a really, really cool deal. Anthony Gwynn, I believe, is going to stop by for a couple of minutes next. He's one of the broadcasters with the San Diego Padres. So we will talk to him about Soto and Bell. First week there, and of course, San Diego coming to D.C. Pods in town for three starting tomorrow at Nats Park. Grant Paulson with you on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny without Danny on the Fan, and I'm pumped because it's not every day we get guests in studio, but by surprise, here doing some work back to California, the magic of radio. He's broadcasting from the D.C. studios for his San Diego audience, but he travels with the Padres because he's one of the analysts on their radio team. Anthony Gwynn is with us. Tony Gwynn Jr., how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have you in studio. And you're welcome, by the way, because you now have Juan Soto and Josh Bell in San Diego to watch every
night.
Thank you. We're watching Paolo Espino and Anibal Sanchez and errors out the wazoo. It's gotten ugly here. What's it been like the last week or so since the deadline?
Honestly, it's been a roller coaster. I think San Diegans were a little leery when the rumor started to kind of build because of last year. You know, it was basically reported that Max Scherzer was headed to the Padres, only to find out like an hour or two later that not only was he not coming to the Padres, he was going up north, up the highway to Los Angeles. So
at least you guys don't have any bad feelings toward them.
That's an understatement to say the least. But once it happened, I mean, it couldn't have been better news. It's the biggest move in Padre history in terms of trade deadline moves. And so, you know, the first 2 days, it was everything you imagine, right? They put up a boatload of runs. The energy in the stadium was, you could touch it. That's how strong it was. Fast forward 2 days later, you go to Los Angeles, you get swept, you lose the last game at home, you lose the first game at your homestand. So 5 games in a row, and people are full out panicking. And so they've got it back on track the last 2 games. So when I say roller coaster, it went from emotions of highs to lows. Now we're kind of riding high again.
Yeah, and they got back on the good foot thanks to Manny Machado hitting a walk-off homer.
Yeah, that
clutch
helped.
Moment for him. You know a thing or two about that Padres-Dodgers rivalry over 4 years, two with each of those two organizations, and yeah, my guess, 680-plus games in the big leagues over 8 seasons. We'll get to Bell in a second, but Soto, what are your initial thoughts just of the plate discipline and what he brings?
I didn't need initial thoughts. I've been following Juan for quite some time. Bob Boone, who was one of the big scouts for the Nationals for a very long time, kind of tipped me off as he was making his ascent to the big league. So it wasn't a surprise other than to see somebody that young who really has already kind of mastered the strike zone and the ability to put pitchers in bad spots. And not only do that, but then fully execute and hurt you. And he's only 23 right now. He's only going to get better. So I didn't need an initial reaction. I knew what we were going to get once he got there, and I think now everybody in San Diego's getting a chance to see it.
Were you surprised that it actually happened and yes, they actually traded him?
Yes, I was. You don't see a talent like that move via trade deadline. You know, you just don't see it. Doesn't happen often. And so, I mean, really the only comp to that is Miguel Cabrera going from the Marlins to Detroit. And so when you look at it that way, it was a deal that you could not pass up. Regardless of what else was extra was being asked, it wasn't worth holding up that type of deal, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they didn't. I mean, they put everything the Nats seemed to want in that deal. And you follow the organization really closely, so you know that the prospect haul they gave up was as big as anything that's ever been given up. Now, prospects, though, or there's risk that comes along with
it. Without a doubt. I mean, you just look at the history of trades in general. I mean, very rarely does it exceed the value that has been given up. You know, so I do believe, though, that Abrams, Gore, guys who've already had a taste of the big leagues are going to be very, very good players. I think Abrams is going to be really good. I think Gore has already showed the resolve that makes me feel comfortable that he's going to be all right. He had struggled the previous 2 years after really shooting up the minor league ranks. COVID wasn't good to him. You know, not having those seasons really set him back, but his mind works well. He was able to kind of right the ship. Not only right the ship, he was at one point he was one of the best pitchers on the Padres staff this year.
2 months into the season, he had a sub-2. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. What happened though? Maybe it was the injury, but I mean, for about 6 weeks before they shut him down,
I don't think it was. I don't think it was there. Yeah, no, I think that's this is big leagues. Yeah. The league starts to adjust, and at that young of age, you don't really have the experience to pull from to know how fast or what you need to do to adjust. You got to just go through it, and you saw both him and Abrams go through that a little bit. And, you know, before Gore's injury, he was starting to kind of figure it out. Abrams the same way. They sent him down after he struggled a little bit early. He came back, and he was a different player. He had a better idea of how they were trying to attack him and what he needed to do to have some success. So I think both of those guys are going to be good. James Wood, that seemed to be the piece that Padres really struggled giving up. I mean, you just don't see a guy his size, his athleticism. That can do
there
what he
does. There were dudes like that in your clubhouses for the most part. I mean, that's 6'7" with wheels. You know what I mean?
There's really not. That's a created player. If you got an MLB to show and you dabble in that, it's a created player.
It really like
you're not getting that kind of size and stuff. And obviously, it still remains to be seen what that leads to. But what I can tell you is, having been in the Nationals organization, know the guys who helped develop these guys. They're in good hands.
The series this weekend, lastly, I am fascinated by the return. I mean, I've been joking. This to me is analogous to not only like seeing your ex right after she moves on, but and
this
not
is if
only.
She moved on in like 2 days.
So she moved on in 2 days. I'm still fat, and her boyfriend has a V taper and abs. She's dating Anthony Gwynn Jr., okay? And I'm gross. But on top of that, she's in my house.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they're in San Diego. No. Or like, you wake up, and her boyfriend are sitting on your couch, you know, in their pajamas, and they spent the night.
Pretty cruel.
And they're apologizing about how loud they were the night before. Like, bro, this is bad. So what do you think this is going to be like?
Listen, it's baseball. So ultimately, as bad as it may seem, execution still needs to happen in order to go out and win a ball game. And I know Washington has struggled here as of late, but... It's certainly a series the Padres should be able to win. Now, that could have been said when the Padres were in Detroit maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago when they lost 2 of 3. When they've been in Colorado and they've just had a tough time in that spot. So the game still has to be played, but certainly the Padres on paper should be able to handle their business.
Are we catching? I'm trying to think pitching matchup wise.
You're gonna get
getting Musgrove.
No, Joe pitched
okay
last game, so I think you'll get Darvish in this.
Oh, good.
You'll get Darvish in this one.
That'll be fun. That's 2 hits over 7 innings. What else?
Oh, I'm trying to remember who's gone here lately. You'll get Darvish. Oh, I think you'll get. You might get Snell.
Snellzilla.
I think you might
okay,
get Snell.
So that's 4 hits over 6. Yeah, it'll be a good time for everybody.
You've got it all lined up.
Well, enjoy yourself. You're going to have a blast calling these games.
I hope so. This is my first time doing a game from National Park, so I'm looking forward.
Bring your binoculars.
That's what I hear. I hear we're on the roof. So
you're going
know.
Up top. Thank you for stopping by.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And kidding aside, a lot of people in DC rooting for the Pods now. I would say on behalf of our guys, I know the rest of this season, we want to see Soto, and we love Josh Bell. What a guy.
Good dude. Good. Dude. I'm actually getting to sit down with an interview for him this weekend. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Just a mensch. Just a good dude. Well, take care of them and win some baseball games.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, Soto and Bell, the return. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Nationals Park. They're expecting some huge crowds. Next, preseason opener at FedEx Field this weekend. What are we looking forward to? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or... I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.